It's time for another round of Embrace the Space, a monthly segment designed to explore town planning from land use to housing to transportation and how it all works together. Interviews to educate the community on the importance of mindful development and to speak to the economic, social, and community goals of our towns. You can get the full archive in the Town Square section of our website, chapelboro.com, or just go straight to it, chapelboro.com/embracethespace. And thanks to the Twinsic Residential Group for making Embrace the Space possible this month and every month. This month, our guest is a familiar name, Ty Wynn, who's on the Chapel Hill Town Council, joining us on the phone this morning to talk town planning and development. Councilmember Wynn, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Always excited to be here.
So for folks who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to town council.
Oh, gosh. So I graduated UNC back in 2020, and I came from Indian Trail, North Carolina, so a very different vibe to come to college, and I just, you know, fell in love with the Chapel Hill community. I got off campus a lot, and specifically, you know, my parents are refugees from Vietnam. I got really involved with the local refugee community, and as a result, got really involved in affordable housing advocacy over the years, and, you know, all of that culminated in my run for council. And now, you know, I have a tech company, and I serve on council, so try to keep myself pretty busy. You know, relatively speaking, I'm decently young, so, you know, try to have a lot of fun.
Decently young is a good position to be in, right?
I try. How long it lasts.
So you've been on council for a couple of years. You've had a chance to look at a whole bunch of development proposals downtown and otherwise in Chapel Hill. What, in your opinion, do you look for? Like, what makes a project proposal a good proposal, and what makes a proposal a bad one?
Well, that's a good question. I think a few things that I definitely look for is, A, how much legwork, you could say, the developer has done in terms of figuring out the context of, you know, what's around them. You know, have they talked to the neighbors? Have they engaged the community around, you know, what they're trying to do? Because it's more than just building buildings. I think a lot of times people try to think that, you know, all that we do is look at the design of a building and then, you know, approve it essentially based on that. But there's a lot that goes into it. You know, what is the use? Does it make sense in that area? Is it adding, you know, additional community benefits to that, not only that immediate area, but our community as a whole? And so there's those factors. And then on top of that, you know, we have a lot of requirements in Chapel Hill around especially affordable housing. So that's kind of the other big piece that I always look for is, you know, has the developer developed an affordable housing plan? What does it look like? Does it match our requirements? You know, is it home ownership? Is it rental? Are they proposing one themselves? And that, you know, usually tells you a lot about what kind of developer you're going to be working with. You know, if they're going to be open to negotiation and things like that, if they've already proactively come to the table with, like I said, an affordable housing plan, a stormwater mitigation plan. You know, they've looked at our recreation space requirements, all that stuff. And so, you know, we have, thankfully, you know, a lot of developers that do come prepared and all that, but there's always those that, you know, come out of left field and don't.
So kind of following up on that, what can we do as a community to build more of those good projects? Like, what can we do to generate more community engagement in the process, get developers who are willing to come to the table and negotiate and go back and forth without necessarily dragging the process on too long?
Yeah, and that is another, well, Aaron, you're just known for asking great questions. and that's a lot of what we're trying to do with the LUMO rewrite. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest issues that we, or I guess issues, challenges, however you want to call it, is we don't really get, let's say, the cream of the crop developers. You know, our town has had a reputation over the, and that we've built over decades, of being a pretty terrible place to develop in from the developer perspective. And as a result, we don't get the most creative, the most, you know, robust proposals from the best developers out there. And so one of the things that we're really looking to do is, how can we streamline the process, in terms of making the expectations clear, because, you know, we've asked our community, the developer community, et cetera, what they think is kind of the biggest holdup. And it always comes back to a lack of transparency. You know, our process is known for taking a lot longer than it should, a lot longer than our neighbors' processes. And with all that time, the developer, as well as our community, are never clear on, well, what's going to come at the end of that tunnel. And since we do it on a project-by-project basis, it takes so much community resources. You know, we ask our community to come out and essentially speak on every single little project that comes before council. And that, you know, has a lot of fatigue. It ensures that our community doesn't always come out on one hand, and then on the developer side, again, it's definitely a deterrent for getting better developers. So if we can streamline the process, make it more transparent in terms of what our expectations are, what we want up front, and not have to go through this, you know, 12 to 18 months negotiation process for every single project, and our community can tell us, you know, one time, these are the community benefits we want to prioritize, this is what we're looking for, and then we could communicate that up front. That helps solve, you know, the community engagement piece, and then also helps us get better developers, which will get better projects.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Town Council member Ty Wynn, it's this month's installment of Embrace the Space. Again, chapelboro.com/embracethespace for the full archive of conversations about town planning and development. A follow-up on the LUMO, that's the Land Use Management Ordinance, and you mentioned the rewrite. What are, say more on that. What are some of the specific details of that rewrite that you're pushing for, looking forward to actually kind of manifesting themselves as we get into the next couple of years?
Yeah, for sure. So one is how we engage the community, especially around the advisory boards. I think we have something like 26 different advisory boards, and there's a lot of overlap between the charges of each advisory board. And there's been a lot of what you could call mission creep in the advisory boards. And then also, if you look at the advisory boards, it's, you know, not representative of our community. You know, we've tried really hard to recruit diverse candidates, people from diverse backgrounds. But the way that the advisory boards are just structured, it inherently is, you know, not able to allow people from diverse backgrounds to participate. And so that's from the community side. From the developer side, you know, we require developers to go through a gauntlet of advisory boards. So as a part of that rewrite, really looking how we can combine more of our advisory boards to streamline that piece, allow, you know, more community members to actually participate. And, you know, I can't speak for others. I also believe that that will result in better recommendations from the advisory board, because we will be able to have, you know, people from different backgrounds in the room, cross-pollination of ideas, being able to have more creative recommendations, since they're not looking at just, you know, one super specific thing about a project. Because, you know, once it comes to council, we have, you know, 10, 12, 15 different recommendations from all of these different boards, since they're looking at, again, one small piece of the pie, then we all have to kind of synthesize all of that together. And it's, you know, not an efficient way to do it, one, but it also doesn't result in the best outcome. So I think that's one prime opportunity to streamline the process for the developer side, and also allow us to have better community engagement and better outcomes on the community side as well.
So thinking about the process of development and thinking about, like, just what's coming in or what should be coming into Chapel Hill in the next few years, up to the next decade, where do you think we're headed as a community in terms of the process and what's coming in, and where do you think we should be headed?
Yeah, so we've been working on this complete communities initiative for the past, oh gosh, my time is weird these days. I think it's been about 6 months.
So COVID threw everything off.
I know, it's been wild. And then, you know, being going back into hybrid, where like half the meetings are in person and half, it's got me upside down. But, you know, we brought in a world-class planner who was the head planner or head of planning for the city of Toronto for a long time. And she's really taken a hard look at our processes and done, you know, capacity analyses and all these, you know, technical planning stuff to look at not only where we can grow, but how we can grow as a community in a way that reflects our values. And so as we look at the next decade, as a result of that work and that process, we're looking at, we need to add, on a rolling average, about 500 housing units a year to A, keep up with our demand, and B, ensure that our housing remains affordable to a wide variety of folks. And then B, on the complete side of that community, making sure that, as we're building out these housing units, they have access to amenities. And a big piece of that is leveraging our unique greenway system. So as we look at the next decade, we'll really be, the big projects will be, how do we add housing and unlock our greenway system and our other transit system, so that as we add people, we're not adding cars. That's kind of the slogan of that process, if you will, adding more diverse folks to our community without adding more cars.
Speaking with Ty Wynn, and we got to wrap up, but as we do, same question I've been ending all of these conversations with. If you had a magic wand and could wave it and fix one major issue with development in our area, whether it's what's going in, what's not going in, the process, anything that comes to mind, what would it be? What would you change?
If I had a magic wand, I would change the state laws. So we live in a state where state legislation overrides and dictates what local governments are able to do. I would change that to allow local governments to create ordinances that match, their specific jurisdictional needs as well as their values. Because a lot of the things that we as a council and a town would love to be able to do that aligns with our values aren't, that we just aren't able to do those due to the restrictions placed on us by the state. So that's kind of one huge barrier that without a magic wand is pretty insurmountable.
Chapel Hill, chapelboro.com/embracethespace is the website. Go there to get the full archive of all of these conversations. Chapel Hill Town Council Member Ty Wynn, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for having me. If anyone has any questions after listening to this, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is correct on the website, even though my bio is not.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, of course. Have a great day.